Okay, the name of this Bible study is going to be called The Tabernacle, God's Truth, Then and Now. Father, I just ask today, Lord, that you just touch me and you make me full of your Spirit so that I might relate to the people your truth, God. Let every word that come out of my mouth not be my words, but your words for this, Lord. God, let it be that your word, as only it can, inspires people, God, to rise up from where they've been to where they need to go. And I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit in this place, touch every heart and every mind that is here with its truth. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
Now, in Exodus, this is where this came from, when the people came out of Egypt, right? Moses went up on a mountain, and while he was up on that mountain, God gave him the plans for the tabernacle. The tabernacle was where God said he would reside with his people. Okay? Now, at that point, of course, the angel of the Lord went before them in a column of smoke or a pillar of fire. Amen? And everybody knew the power of God because they had just been released from bondage in Egypt. Hello. And so have you been released by the power of God today. Alright? And right now, you are following a sense of God, but you do not, most of you, understand the fullness of God because it is not yet fully present in your life because you are shaking loose your chains and striving towards God and His truth. Are you getting this? And that's why I'm telling you that this Bible study is just as relevant today. The tabernacle is just as relevant today as it was when God laid the plans for it 3,000 years ago or whatever it was, 4,000 years ago. Okay, maybe it was 3,500. I'm not going to get specific. I didn't study that part to be true. Amen? So God gave Moses this plan. And what he said is, when you build this, there's going to be an outer courtyard. That's where my people can come. Right? Now that's why I speak of this room all the time. I tell you that the average person is a member of a congregation, but has not gone nor will go any further. Right? Now the great difference in what I'm about to speak and what is true today is all of us can be intimate with the living God. Through the blood of Jesus that He shed and His resurrection power and Holy Spirit power today, all of us can be intimate with God. But at this time, the Holy Spirit came upon occasion on people, but in truth was not loosed on the earth until the day of Pentecost. Amen? But still today, these things are true. We must understand that in this day, the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, was God's chosen people. Right? They were the sons of Abraham. Right? And because of that, they actually had the right to enter into this outer courtyard of God's people. And because of the blood of Jesus, you now have the right to get saved and walk with God's people. Are you hearing me? But that does not mean that you have the depth of what God wants to give you. That does not mean that you are walking in the wholeness of God yet. It means that you are now a part of the people because of the blood of Jesus and you receiving Jesus into your heart. But it does not mean that you have the depth of what God has for you. God said that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can talk to a mountain and say, be removed into the sea, and it will depart from you. That faith comes with the depth and intimate relationship and knowledge of God. There's a lot of people in this room that still do not understand forgiveness, although they hear it and people talk about it, but they do not have inside of them the truth of the sense of God, because they have not gotten closer to Him. They have determined in their life to just be in the outer courtyard. And how many people know that if you are just on the outside of things, you're always looking in, but you're never getting the full impact of what it is that is inside. Amen. There are many people in this room today that have been and still are and may always be just in the outer courtyard. But you don't have to be looking on the power of God. You can be walking in the power of God. Amen? But it is up to you to want to walk in the power of God. It is up to you to do the things that are required of you to get closer to God. Amen? I'm here to tell you today that if you don't shake loose your chains and shake loose your old life, you are never going to get that closeness that God wants you to have. Amen? Now, let me explain a little further. I was doing a little math, and when I was measuring cubits in my mind, which is wrong page. I decided to do a little study last night. And in that study, I came to the determination that the length of this courtyard at the time that I was studying, and I think I determined, was approximately 175 feet long, right? And across the front, I think I decided it was 81 feet long. Everything that's in the Bible is measured in cubits. There's two kinds of cubits. There's royal cubits, and then there's a standard cubit. And a cubit is the length of your arm to the tip of your finger. And depending on how big or how small you are, it's usually 18 to 21 inches. So I don't know what length of arm they used at the time. But using that measurement, I came up with the fact that indeed this thing was approximately 175 feet long, this down each wall here, right? And then across the front was about 82 feet or something like that across the front. So it was a pretty large structure. Amen? And you got to remember, it was all made out of cloth and board covered in bronze and gold and skin. Animal skin. I want the animal activists to go to the Bible someday and tell me where they get their justification for what they're raising such a fit about today. Amen. I lived in Alaska, and I'm going to be here to tell you that the warmest thing you can wear is animal skin. It's cold out. Amen. But anyway, not to get off subject, I just wanted to share this with you so that you can see that it was a big structure. And this was carried with the people every day through the desert. And it was used for multiple years until the time when they built the temple. And who built the first temple? Solomon. Because David's hands were too bloody. Alright? Now some of us, like myself, I know in my heart that I've done a lot of bad things. And perhaps because of what I've done, I will never fully obtain what could have been possible. Amen? But I am still going to obtain much more than would ever be possible, I thought, in my life. So I want to encourage you that I want you to know that God has accepted you in as the people of His choice. He knocked on your heart. He had you to open your door. You didn't find God. God found you. So you are a chosen people by God. And you are not to look down on yourself no more, but recognize that God has chosen you to be His people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you've got to get over those feelings of insufficiency because, of course, next to God, we are insufficient. Amen. But in God, we are full. Okay, right here, in this place, when we first enter in, we say the sinner's prayer, we're in the outer courtyard. Now, as you can see to some degree, that is not really where things are really happening. It's a big, empty area full of other people that are in the outer courtyard. But in order to be in this place, you must be a priest. Chosen by God. Elevated, if you will, from the rank of the populace. Amen? Now the way that happens is you shake loose some things that have been in your life and become sanctified unto God. You cut loose the things that keep you away from God and you embrace the things that get you closer to God. It is a choice now that you can make, unlike in the days of old, where you can become a priest of the living God. Are you hearing me here today? In my case, I am now a minister, which I guess could be considered a priest. Amen? And what happened was, no matter where I came from, I determined and purposed in my heart, I am going to live for God. And that means that you lay your whole life down and say, God, take my life and do with it what you will. Are you hearing me? And when you do that and you shake loose that stuff from your past and the world and the things that are not of God, then God, after a time of purification, will elevate you to where you can get into this sanctuary, which was called the holy place. And in the holy place, there was three items. There was the golden lampstand, the altar of incense, and the table of showbread. Okay? And what God was showing the people in this room is, I am your provider. So you must start to have faith that God is your provider, no longer yourself. You must start to rest in God and accept His divine provision in your life. You must quit making things happen and ask God to provide for you the things that He would have to happen, and then you must really go on that faith walk to get into this kind of a place. Amen? When you first get saved, you have a sense of God, but you do not understand the depth of God. In order to get to the next step, you must assimilate Him into your life. You must allow Him in depth. And when you do, you will be moved up to a different level of your Christian walk, which will get you closer to God than most people that will never get there because they will not loose the things that it takes to get there. They would just soon stay in lust, stay drinking, stay chasing girls and boys. Are you hearing me? Stay on drugs. Stay in the world. And because of that, they will never get into the holy place. Are you hearing me here today? You see, God showed us a path and He showed a way to that path. Tomorrow, I'm going to give part 3, which is actually going to be one that I've already done, which is stages of a Christian's growth. That's going to correlate back to what I'm showing you today that is relevant for today, just as this is relevant, but it comes from a slightly different direction. Amen? So in this place, there was a table of showbread. There was also an altar of incense. And there was a golden lampstand. When you enter into the holy place, your life changes. The light of God truly comes on brightly in your life. Are you hearing me? You have now got the provision of God because now you serve God, which is the table of showbread. And the altar of incense is always because of your sacrificial life and because of the praises that you continually are giving Him is taken and lifting up into the nostrils of God and bringing down His glory into your life. Are you hearing me? You see, this is the next step of our growth as we draw closer to God if we want to walk in the power of God in our life. Are you hearing me? It is relevant today, just like it was relevant back then. You no longer have to be of the family of Aaron to be in this place, but you have got to lose things in your life to get to this place. You are not going to live the life you lived before you entered into these gates and get from here into this place. It is up for you to have the desire to do these things that will shake loose those dry bones of your past in order that you might have the glory of God in your life. And this is still not God's perfect plan for you, but it is the next step of His plan for you, and it is available to everybody. Whereas in this day, the only way you could get there is by being from the right tribe. Today, it is your willful decision that will allow you to enter into the holy place in the tabernacle, which is right alongside of the place where we all need to go, which is the holy of holies. Are you hearing me here today? Are you starting to see the relevancy? You see a lot of people that are immature Christians sit there and tell me stupid things like, well, this is after Jesus came. Right? We're in the new covenant. That's right. We are, because of the new covenant. You get to be one of His people. But God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And nothing has ever changed. God was the I Am. Jesus was the I Am. The Spirit of God was the I Am that formed the earth. They were one then, and they are one today. Jesus said, I did not come to take away from one thing in the Old Testament. I have come to fulfill it. You must learn the Bible from beginning to end. And it is all true. Every word, every part, and God discarded none of it. And never will. God, you see, if you could get this inside of you, God is the one that never changes. He never changed from the day He formed the earth until this day. God has always been the same. You cannot take your human thinking and discredit anything that God has said. You getting this? And the tabernacle and this drawing I'm showing you today was given by God to Moses, whatever it was, 3,000 years ago. Whatever. I don't care. And it is just as relevant today as it was then, but because of the power of Jesus Christ's blood that He shed for you, and makes it available to all of you because of the Holy Spirit that entered into the earth on the day of Pentecost. This is all available to each and every one of you. Now, on the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, which is the next step of your potential growth in Christ. You can do it. You can get there. But Jesus must be totally Lord in your life. And you have got to say, God, not my will, but yours. Which means there are going to be days, weeks, months, and years where God is going to require of you a sacrificial life. One wholly submitted unto Him. And when you have gone through a time of proving, now He is going to fill you so full that you are overflowing. Amen. The power of God will rest in your hands. Now in this most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, was the Ark of the Covenant. The only thing that was in there was the Ark of the Covenant. And that's the room that God stayed in the tabernacle. Was in the room, the Holy of Holies, which housed the Ark of the Covenant. Now in the Ark of the Covenant was a mercy seat. Amen? And that mercy seat was taken, and it had cherubim, which are angels, with their wings hovering over the seat. And every year, the high priest would go in after a time of sanctification and sprinkle blood underneath the cherubim wings on the mercy seat. And some say, by tradition, that it was the sign of a cross that they sprinkled the blood on that mercy seat. Because it was a sign of things to come, that someday Jesus would come and lay His life down and shed His blood for us, that we might have mercy because of Jesus. Are you understand? Do you see the power in the thousands of years of God's plan for His people? Amen. And they used to take this high priest, and there was only one that could make it in there. And that was the high priest, the priest of all priests. And he was sanctified, and he would take a time to sanctify himself. And do you know that when he walked into that room, they tied a rope on his feet? Do you know why? Because if he was playing some kind of a stupid game, like a lot of people play today, and he stepped into the presence of the living God and was not worthy, he was struck dead. And the priest could not go in there to get him because they would be struck dead too. They had to drag him out by a rope on his leg. You see, in order to get to this next place, you gotta be all the way real in God. You've gotta be on in God. You've gotta be totally committed to God. But the beauty of this next place is if you are worthy and you commit yourself wholly in that manner to God, then you will truly be one with God. Are you hearing me? And then those works that Jesus did, you shall do also, because He goes on to His Father. And the works that He did, you shall do too, and more of, because He has gone unto His Father. But you see, we look at this today, and a lot of people go, well, what does it mean? It is a teaching to people today about your potential in God, if you choose. It is a sign to those who are believers of how far they can go if they would make that choice. It doesn't come with one foot on each side of the fence. It comes in a faith walk with God. And by the way, Moses was God's high priest. And he had been a murderer. Did you get that? And that was as much a sign to us today as it was back then. God does not choose people that are perfect or have been perfect. God chooses people that submit to Him perfectly. Are you getting this? You see, I'm going to tell you that one of the biggest things that you've got to learn to get to that place is one word that you hate to this day. Obedience. Are you getting it? You're never going to get out of here until you learn to be obedient. Did you get that? You're not going any further if you still choose to keep one foot on each side of the fence. You're going to be in general population the rest of your life. Because to me, being in the outer courtyard is like being in prison. You are still not free. Did you get that? You aren't free. You're just like everybody else. And we all know that most of the church walks in bondage. Hello? I said most of the church walks in bondage, and you are still in bondage, so you are not free. So that ain't good enough for me. Do you get this? But in order to go to the next place, you must learn to be obedient. You must not learn about the word obedience. You must have yourself to be obedient. Which means make yourself be obedient. Because if you can't learn to be obedient, you are never going to be free. You're going to be part of the congregation and never go any further. You see, when God laid out this tabernacle, the real freedom that you can have, and it's available to you because of Jesus, because Jesus came. Do you get this? It is a willful choice that you must make, that you want this with your everything, because it's going to take your everything to get this thing. Right? It's your willful choice that is going to have you to grow or not. If you'd rather go out and get laid, you ain't making it. You know? If you'd rather go out and party, you ain't making it. Are you hearing me? And you will be in bondage and in prison and be like the rest of the congregation to the day you die. Now, because of the blood of Jesus, you got to come in. Right? So you didn't do nothing for that. You get it? But in order to get the fullness of God, now you got to do something. You know, people say, well, you aren't saved by works. Amen. I'm there. I'm telling you. You are not saved by works. You can't work your way into heaven. But you know what? It's going to take determination and commitment and love of God like no other to get you any further than just inside of you. That is the grace of God that got you in to the congregation. But it is going to be the sincere desire of your heart and the willingness to submit to God and the determination to go further that's going to take you to the next step. And the first thing you got to learn is obedience. Thank you. That'll be on the tape now. Are you hearing me today? Now, you understand what I'm saying? But I'm sitting there telling you, most people are here and will never go any further. Right? Why? Because they don't want to be obedient. They want to do what they want to do. They want to act how they want to act. They don't want to act like a high priest. They don't want to forsake their chains and their bondage. They want to be like Joe Blow Schmo on the corner. Are you getting this? Are you seeing the reality of what I'm talking about? And you are not going to go to the next level in your life in Christ being Joe Blow Schmo on the corner. Amen? Because that just means you do whatever you want to do, no matter if it's right or wrong. Because you don't care what's right, and you don't care what's wrong. Yippee, when I die someday after living a life like hell, I get to go inside the gates of heaven and live in a shanty. But you see, the truth is, that life is never fulfilling. Most Christians I know are miserable. They're miserable. Do you know why? Because they really know, because God plants that sense in you that they can go further, but because they won't learn self-control in their life, they stay right here. But they know that they could walk in power. They know that they should walk in power. They know that power is available for them, but because they won't learn self-control and they want to do what they want to do because they want to have fun. They stay here in misery. You get it? Now, I'm here to tell you today that the tabernacle is God's way of showing you today through the blood of Jesus where you can go. As you read the Old Testament, it is, in sense, a type of the Christ to come and what will be available when He does come. But you see, Christ has come. Amen? He hung on a cross for you, and He said words that should have changed your life and let you know that it's available. Those words are, "It is finished." Do you understand? He said when He hung on the cross, "It is finished." So now, because of the blood of Jesus, you have the opportunity that can lead you to the Holy of Holies. But only you can make that decision to go any further than right here. You get into the general courtyard and become a part of His people because of the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, you're part of the people. But my question to you is, what's next? Because the next part is contingent not upon Jesus who said, "It is finished." You get it? It's contingent upon you. You're going to determine if you want to put on the garments of a priest. You get it? You're going to determine. You got to read Exodus. You got to read it. You got to read it. It is so good. You're going to determine how far you're going to go in God. It's up to who? Because God has already finished what He's supposed to do. Now you've got to decide how far you're going to go so that He can do the rest of the work He wants to do in you. Amen? How many people are enjoying this little study? Does it make sense? You see, it's like I said yesterday in another study. It's better for you to suffer now so that you can have glory later. Amen? Why? Because it's just true. Now my question to you is, when I asked you yesterday, my first Bible study in the series was very simply, I said, Christian or not? Now you see, what I want to tell you today is, being a person that is a Christian in the baby stages, you're in the courtyard. But you are not walking in the fullness of being a Christian. Are you hearing me today? Because the fullness is not in the courtyard. It is in the Holy of Holies. And you have got to decide if you want to get there. Amen? Now tomorrow, I'll do the third one. Alright? And I'll conclude with the fourth on Saturday morning. Father, I just ask You today, Lord, that they take this teaching and make it part of their life, God. Let it be right now that each and every person in this room starts to get the sense of not just what they are now, but what they can be. And God, let it be this day that all of us have been challenged to become more of what we can be by the knowledge of how far we have the right to go because of Your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone say, Amen. Amen.